Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency, all things homesteading, and about how we can reduce the gap between our consumption and our production. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 303 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. That number cannot be right, can it? 310 was the Ask Me Anything. Maybe it's 313. I'm not sure. I'll have to double check and get my numbers right before I record the next one. I've got 303 written in front of me, which, like I say, must be wrong. But this is episode 300 and something of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. So today, the topic that we get into in a little bit is going to be composting. We're continuing our Back to Basics series, and this is going to be a basic overview of composting and a way of demystifying, as we always try and do here, but also just a way of getting into it and starting composting if you're not already, continuing composting, and just a general view of what, why, and how we compost. So that's going to be the bulk of today's episode. I've got a little bit of housekeeping up front, though, not very much. Bear with me. So the first is just to say we will be giving away a book on Friday as we continue to downsize my homestead library. We're going to be giving away, it's a huge book, it really is a proper hardback weighty book with, let me just check actually, it's several pages long, it's about A4 in size and it's over 200 pages long. And it is the book produced by the BBC in association with the Royal Horticultural Society. It's by Carol Clean, and it is the book Grow Your Own Veg. And as I said, it's a properly weighty tome. It includes all the aspects of growing your own veg. It'll talk about climate, it'll talk about weather, talk about compost, talk about polytunnels and greenhouses, and it'll also go through all the different types of veg and how you grow them. So it's a really useful book for anyone's library, and we will be giving that away on Friday. If you want to be included in that prize draw, all you have to do is become a patron of the show, which you will all know how to do by now, I'm sure. There's links in the show notes, or you can just go to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. I've also got a little bit of, or rather a lot, that I'm going to spread out over a few podcasts of listener feedback that I'd like to share with you, because you guys are the best and you get in touch regularly, and I don't always have time to read it out on the show or to even respond as fully as I might like, and I have apologised for that in the past. I will do so again here, but I do want to just read out some of the amazing feedback that I've been getting. So the first piece of feedback is an email from just over a couple of weeks ago now, from Alex Todd over at the Net Zero Homestead in America. Now, he has been, as I've mentioned before, going through my back catalogue, starting at episode one. And he's slowly catching up, and he wrote me just a little while ago. He does jump forward occasionally to the updated podcast just to try and keep track of what's going on here. But generally speaking, he's listening in chronological order. Anyway, he writes, "Dear Carl, hello. I've just listened to the most recent episode and was very glad to see you are moving forward enthusiastically. Very much looking forward to the Ask Me Anything episode, and I'm assuming you got my questions, as like you said, you weren't answering them for that reason. We just acquired a male wiener piglet that is half potbelly and half Hampshire to raise as a male for our two female Cooney Cooney pigs. Apparently, that will give us a meatier litter. We're very excited about that, and we'll let you know how it goes. Also, I had a realization the other day about why. Why do I feel so drawn to your podcast and YouTube videos? And the answer was surprisingly simple. It's because the content is clean. It's wholesome. I can always find something I would like to try or just know more about. Look at most of the entertainment out there. So little of it has the qualities that I name above. It's really quite a stark truth when you really look at it. So I'm afraid I'm hooked, and I blame you. It's your fault, and I can't thank you enough. So I hope I'm contributing enough to make me worth your while." And you certainly are, Alex. And it's lovely to get feedback like that. I love hearing how what I'm doing has impacted people and made people make changes. And I've heard from lots of you that, you know, you're doing things that you otherwise mightn't have considered. And it's just an absolute pleasure and joy to be in that position. It really does touch me inside. The next one is from Sean Frau, who was a recent winner on our prize draws, and he replied or sent me an email. I've just had a podcast binge session and discovered that I'm the lucky winner of one of your books. Thank you. And he gives me his address, and then he goes on to say, thanks for your continued work with the Self-Sufficient Hub. It is a real inspiration for me personally. Self-sufficiently has been a long-term dream but seemed out of reach. You've helped me realize that it is achievable, at least partly, and inspired us to take a big leap of faith to put ourselves in the position we are in now. My partner June and I started our self-sufficient journey in earnest last summer when we sold our house and bought a 13-acre field. We now have 6 goats, all in kid, loads of chickens and quail, and we're about halfway through planting 3,000 trees, including an orchard of apple, pear, plum, medlar, nut and cherry trees. We've taken some baby steps into foraging with nice hauls of damsons, brambles and crab apples. Pigs are next on the agenda as soon as our goats have kidded. Turkeys are ordered and masses of vegetable seeds will be sown to keep us going until next year. There's always work to be done, regardless of the weather or personal injuries or illness, as you well know, but we're loving it. As Confucius said, choose a job you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. Keep doing what you're doing, Carl. Kind regards, Sean Frau. And he puts in parentheses there after that, that's Frau, sounds like cow. As up until this point, I believe I've been referring to you as Sean Fro. Anyway, thank you so much, guys, for those emails. They mean the world to me, and I appreciate it. It's an amazing thing, really, that we live in this age now where I'm able to do this. And not only that, but then when I do it and I go out on a limb and create this content and put myself out there, that it has this amazingly positive effect. I have to say, I don't think I've received any negative criticism. I very, very occasionally get a critical message on my YouTube channel, but, you know, it's so occasional. And just the feedback I've had from doing this right from the word go has just been incredibly positive and affirming. And I thank all of you guys for that, because it's, you know, that's where it's coming from. It's coming from you. Anyway, there we go. That's a slightly longer than usual housekeeping segment. So I guess we'd better get into the meat of today's episode, which is composting and, you know, back to basics. Before we dive into it, so to speak, I will just mention that we did a composting series. Either it was around Christmas time, just after Christmas, either this year or last year. I don't remember when, but if you search my feed, it'll be easy to find. It was with Nat from the, let me just check. Yeah, it was from Nat from the Allotment Kitchen Garden. And she is a master composter. And we spoke in detail there about all the different types of composting, bokashi composting, worm composting. We talk in great depth about how you compose a compost bin. And if you've listened to this episode and you want a little bit more depth on the subject, then that is definitely where to go next. But we're going to be talking more broad strokes, and we're going to be talking about the basics and getting into composting. So the first thing to say is, you know, that the reason that we compost is twofold. We want to reduce the waste that would otherwise need to find a home elsewhere, and we want to recycle things on our property, such as manure, bedding and plant and waste and matter. And the second thing is, we want to improve our soil. You know, we want to increase the organic matter that we're adding to soils. And when I first got into gardening, composting was a little bit mysterious to me, and it felt a little bit too not a beginner subject. And certainly the application of it and the correct production of it, and talking about greens and browns and different types of compost, and, you know, what sort of compost do I need to add to my soil? Should I add cow manure? Should I add horse manure? Should I add chicken manure? Should I add our grass cuttings? And it just seemed a bit complicated and a bit complex. And when you start thinking about the type of ground you've got, do I need to make certain amendments in my compost based on the type of ground I've got? It just seemed like there was a lot to get my head around there. and it put me off starting initially. But that's what this podcast is about. It's about breaking down those barriers so that we don't feel too nervous to start. And simply put, when, you know, in answer to that question, do I add cow manure? Do I add chicken manure? Do I add goat manure? Do I add the grass clippings? Do I add our kitchen waste? Do I add our plant waste when we're trimming our plants that we're harvesting? The answer is yes to everything. Just add everything. You can't add something, so long as it's organic matter. I suppose that's a term that can confuse people. By organic matter, we literally mean plant or animal waste that's just going to break down. That's what we mean by organic matter. That all goes into our compost. Now, if you want to have a compost pile that breaks down really quickly, then what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to manage those elements that go into it a little bit better. Because if you add too much of what might be called greens or browns, and it's just a way of separating two different types of elements, whether they're high in nitrogen or not. And for instance, if you make a big giant pile of grass clippings and nothing else, that's all greens. Whereas if you make a big giant pile of wood chip, then that's all browns. And they'll just take a little bit longer to break down. They'll give you a slightly different finished product. And they are both, however, going to break down. They will both compost. It will happen. So the main thing to take away from this section is that, you know, just so long as you're adding it to your compost pile, it will work. But if you want to reduce the time scale within which it's going to break down, if you need your compost to turn around in months rather than years, then having a mixture of all of those elements is going to be to your advantage. It's definitely going to increase the rate at which it breaks down, and it's going to be a slightly nicer consistency to work with while it does so. Because if you have, for instance, just all grass clippings, it's going to get quite slimy and wet, and it's going to take a lot longer to break down. Now, the other thing to do to expedite the process, to speed it up, is to turn it. And again, all we're doing is we're just making sure that we're getting air into it where we need it for all of that organic matter to be broken down by the bacteria and microbes that are in there that need the oxygen. And we're also going to make sure that it's mixed really well, so we don't get it all composting really fast in the middle and around the outsides, it playing catch up. So those are two things we can do, is just try and make sure we've got a mixture of stuff going into our compost piles and turn it regularly. And by regularly, I'm talking about every month or two, not every week. You know, it doesn't have to be super, super regular to get a lot of those benefits. Of course, you can turn it more often, and that really will come down to what sort of time and energy you have spare to do it. But the main thing is get as much organic matter as you can moving into your composting systems, because that's how you're going to get as much organic matter as you can moving back onto your soil, which is what we want. Now, when we look at our soils and we think, well, we might have clay soil, we might have sandy soil, whatever soil we've got, the solution really is the same. It's just adding as much organic matter as you can, almost up to a point. And what that's going to do is it's going to add a layer of mulch on top. So that's going to help just in itself with things like drainage and water retention for your plants. It's going to help with weed ingress and things like that. So just mulching, the practice of mulching is really, really useful. We're going to talk about that a great deal on Wednesday, actually. I've got Creedmoor Fury, a guest recorded episode coming on Wednesday, talking about the Eden gardening method, which you will learn shares a lot with permaculture and no-dig gardening. But that's a great episode. Creedmoor is a really great guy to talk to. So definitely make sure that you tune in for that on Wednesday. But the idea is, when you're adding this organic matter, you're naturally going to be improving your soil. Whether you've got clay or sandy soil, it's going to move you towards that beautiful, loamy, full of humus soil that you're going to want. And by doing that, you're going to be solving so many different issues. You know, you're going to be composting, you're going to be using up that waste product that we might otherwise have to find a home for elsewhere, and you're going to be feeding your soil. It's just an amazing part of the whole cycle. You can create your own recycling compost bins really, really simply. We've got several from Freecycle, some of the plastic ones, but our most effective ones are just built from pallets. just literally old pallets that you can pick up from any industrial organization, builders, warehouses, places like that, and just three pallets screwed together forming a C shape, and there you go, you've got yourself a compost bin. They're going to allow the aeration through the sides, but they're also going to hold it in place. Something to say about doing that is it means you're going to be able to sort of keep everything in a nice tight area, which is going to help it break down, because one of the things that happens when you compost is it's going to generate some heat, and the bigger the pile, the more heat it will generate, and this heat is going to help it break down further, but it's also going to neutralize a lot of the weeds and seeds that you might add to your compost pile. Now, we've spoken about speed of composting a little bit and what we can do to speed it up. If you've got a nice big pile, that's going to be one of the best ways of making sure that you're getting that heat in there to kill off those seeds. But if you're not, if you are not able to use some of the best practices, shall we say, and you're using a composting method like I do in a lot of our compost piles, where we're talking 2 years or more for it to break down, it might not ever get up to that temperature. So if that's the case, then you just want to be aware that you're maybe not going to be putting in some of the more noxious weeds like couch grass and things like that that might sustain through that whole cycle of being broken down. You know, if you're not producing that heat by hot composting, then you want to be a little bit careful about adding some of the weeds to your pile. But otherwise, you can use the hot composting methods to kill those weeds, basically, and stop them from coming back. Another thing you can do to, you know, if you're worried about the weed pressure, is add a load of wood chip to the top of your compost after you've added it to your topsoil, or not necessarily straight away, but once you've added your compost, add some wood chip to it a week or two later, and that's going to stop the ingress of weed seeds blowing in on top of your compost, because weeds love to fill that vacuum, don't they? But ultimately, what it comes down to is add anything organic and wait. That's composting. That is composting 101. That is the simplest way I can put it. And it's really the golden rule and what we've been doing here for the last 3 or 4 years. Am I a perfect composter? Absolutely not. Could I improve my composting? Absolutely I could. But what I do is we harvest all of the organic matter that would be a waste product. So we harvest all of our animal bedding, all of our chicken manure, all of our vegetable trimmings and everything else. And we also harvest the ash from our wood fire. We harvest the byproducts of waste products from our animals and kitchen. And anything that doesn't get fed to another animal ultimately ends up in the compost. Even our hedge trimmings, they will go to the goats first, and what the goats leave will go to either the bonfire if it's too big for composting but too small to burn on our fire inside, and that will ultimately return to the compost in ash, or it will go directly to the compost if it's small enough. So every piece of organic waste that is created as part of homesteading in our situation is going on to that compost pile, and in time will be returned to our vegetable patch and returned to the soil. It's building our soil, it's creating amazing growing mediums for our plants, it's adding nutrients to the soil, it's protecting it from erosion, it's building the soil, it's allowing our soil to sequester CO2 from the atmosphere, it's doing all of these things. It really is the cornerstone of the permaculture thinking around managing a space like this, or even a smaller space, any space. It's going to be a big part of what we do in our smaller garden. Again, everything we do there will just be on a smaller scale, but composting is the cornerstone of managing that flow of energy and the cyclic nature of all we do here on the homestead. And if you're not composting already, you really must add it to your skill list, because it's something that can start off incredibly simple. Like I say, it's just a case of collecting up all of those waste products, all of that organic matter that would otherwise go to waste, putting it in a pile, and then later adding it to your vegetable bed. It's as simple as that. We're reducing the cost of buying in compost by doing it ourselves. There's so many benefits. And like I say, it starts off as simple as that. And then from that, you can build your knowledge and build your skills, as I'm in the process of doing. I don't pretend to be an expert, but it's something that I'm learning all the time. And I never really realized the importance of composting until we lived here. You know, I never really realized how big a part of the whole cycle of life it is, you know. But as soon as you think about it, it's abundantly obvious. And we want to take all of that life that's in our compost, all of the bacteria and microbes and nematodes and all those things, and we're going to add that biology back into the geology of our ground. And that's how we create the life there that is going to sustain our plants and help them thrive. So there you go. That's it. The back to basics composting. Make sure that you're doing it, trying it. Give it a go. Please, please, please. You won't look back. It's one of the most important things to be doing. And, you know, mastery can take ages, but just getting off the ground and starting is as simple as it sounds. So get yourself composting. Please make sure you tune in on Wednesday for that interview with Creedmoor Fury. And I will speak to you again then and again on Friday. Cheers, guys. Thanks for listening, and stay safe. This episode of the Self-Sufficient Herb podcast was brought to you by our patrons. You guys are awesome. If you'd like to support the show, there's lots of ways you can do it. The easiest of which is just to like and review it wherever you get our podcasts. You can also tell somebody about it, whether that's on social media or just face to face with a friend who you think might benefit from it. But however you support our podcast, we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, please consider doing so by going to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, it's listeners like you that make all of this possible. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I'll speak to you really soon.